Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
In the Saberhood, we are at Johnson's Landing on this day in Hamburg, and what a start to this new tradition, if you will, Marty.
Absolutely. Being on location, if it's beautiful like today, I'll be on location any day, Duffer. Doesn't matter where we are, but now this is a perfect place. The top roof patio at Johnson's Landing, Lake Erie behind us, views of the cities, and we get Rob Ray to hit it off here in the Saberhood. You're already signing autographs.
Did you bang the drum on the way in?
No, yeah. I banged on the kitchen door and said, hey, have me something ready for when I get off this.
What is your food of choice if you were on a patio like this?
My food of choice any day, any time would be Eggs Benedict.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, I love Eggs Benedict.
Wow, this is a new revelation after all these years.
Like a burger with some fries, something.
Yeah, but that's later on in the day.
Well, this is good.
That's like before
bed. We are afternoon.
He's changed, I think.
He's changed. You've
changed. And that's great. Johnson's Landing is the place, 4040 Lakeshore Road in Hamburg. It's a beautiful day, which is great because I promised that 2 days ago. So I may yet have a career in meteorology. But
50-50 chance of being right or being wrong.
Partly cloudy today.
That's good. Yeah. Although you did say something about perfect weather, a nice little hoodie to be like.
Are you overdressed? Did you take my?
I took your advice. I got a t-shirt.
But did you take it too far? Are you too hot?
Yeah, you both took it a little
I'm feeling
too
really
far.
Good.
It's the middle of summer.
This is literally bought on the coast of California. This is what you wear in the sunshine.
I wanted to represect Razor with
the
fishing tournament.
You're the farthest thing from a lumberjack, and you're supporting a lumberjack.
I'm not supposed to be a lumberjack. I'm supposed to be from California, where it's sunny all the time. Okay, Pat Kane has signed with the Blackhawks. It's a 2-year deal, $8 million per.
Yes.
Yeah.
Immediate reaction based on the fact that the Sabres and the Hawks were apparently the last two in the running.
Razor, you go.
It's a lot of sheets, man.
That's eight
for
sheets per year.
36-year-old guy? It's great. I think it's great for him. I'm happy for him. I'm happy. I think he can bring an awful lot to Chicago going back there. Young group of guys, young team.
Yes.
I think Bedard could really benefit from having this guy around. Obviously, they're in a position where, you know, they're going to be battling all the time. It's great for the fans. It's great for the guys in the room, you know, all that kind of thing. Him kind of going back to where it started. Would have been nice. Yeah, it would have been nice for the power play. It would have been nice to have maybe that satch of a person walking in the dressing room too. But I think in the big picture, it comes down to the money side. It's a lot of dough for a man that at that point, maybe injury-wise, you don't know what you're going to get out of him speed-wise. But
what's the production?
There's as many pros
what's the production,
as
you
cons.
Think, for next year for like a Patrick Kane? I mean, it's $8 million a year, so you have to assume it's not just leadership. It has to be production-driven. Yes, Chicago doesn't have Connor Bedard to start the season, but again, it's not just 1 year. It's 2 years
of Patrick Kane. He will be 38 in the first season of this deal.
Yes, so, I mean, if he goes out and has 25 goals, 35 assists, 60 points, is that I would be okay with
that. Put it this way. I think $8 million for Kane with the Hawks is fine.
Yes.
I don't think $8 million on Kane with the Sabres is particularly
well, the Hawks
good business.
A young
at this
team
point.
Like that, I think
well, they're
paying for
they have cap
space. And they're paying for somebody coming in to work with those young guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's at a point where he knows it's coming to the end. He's going to pass a lot of things on. So what they're kind of paying up front to something that may pay off dividends down the road.
And
it's a gamble, but it's still, I think, whether he plays a lot or not, I still think he can bring an awful lot to a young group.
It was kind of, you know, we talked about it on the show yesterday. You asked me, Duffer, is Patrick Kane going to be here on October 3rd, opening Sabres season home opener, Chicago in Buffalo? And I said, yes. And the more and more I was thinking about it when I was driving home, I'm like, it's going to be Chicago.
Yeah.
I felt that way. Kyle Davidson on Overdrive in Toronto, TSN 1050, was talking about how the door's always open for Patrick Kane. He's working out in our facility. He's a Blackhawk for life. I think he was kind of soft launching it, basically saying, we've made our pitch. 2 years, $8 million per. That's a lot of money. I don't think the Sabres wanted to go that money. And I don't think the Sabres wanted to go that term either.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a one-year deal maybe at half that money if it would have been for Buffalo.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it have been a bad choice for Patrick Kane? No. It may have been a really good choice to say, I'll take Buffalo. But right now, Buffalo's got 10 players in the top nine at the minimum. Maybe 11 players in the top nine. Who knows? Because Peyton Krebs played in the top nine almost all year last year.
Yeah.
So that's tough to fit that piece in and spending that money in that term.
Yeah, they had 10 players last year, the Sabres did, with 40 points or more. Krebs landed on 39.
Yes.
And that doesn't include Josh Norris, who obviously projects to way more than 40 on a healthy season. It doesn't include Noah Östlund, who could easily project over 40. It doesn't even project the two others on that potential kid
Kulik
and Helenius, that could easily be over 40.
We have 40 when we did our projection earlier this week.
So when you're just looking at if they can maintain a balance across the board, even in the absence of Tuck, I don't think it was necessary that they had to add Pat Kane in this situation. But I think the one last wrinkle that I would ask you guys as the crowd fills in here nicely Johnson's Landing is among the people here and through the Saberhood, how split do you think the feelings are here? Do you think the majority wanted Kane? Do you think the majority didn't want Kane?
I got
at this
a gentleman
of,
that's shaking his head
his
saying, he said no right there. So that's
I would say
feeling.
Best 50-50.
Yeah, I think 50-50 is fair.
Yeah.
You know,
but if it was 60-40, what way would it sway? To not having him?
Oh, I'm not getting into that.
You're the chief meteorologist. Like, is it partly cloudy or partly sunny?
I'll say 80% chance that people were fine.
Is Marty the guy that always puts the odds down during the game?
Okay, I'll tell you this. I think I've said it a long time. I think that Patrick Kane would have been a really good fit with the Sabres if there is a Connor Hellebuyck trade. If there is players in the top nine right now that we're going to be moving.
He knows.
And so now I'm like, maybe you needed a spot. But, hey, what do you think of Connor Hellebuyck and the rumors that have been going on? We haven't talked to you all summer.
I think it would be absolutely fantastic if you got a guy like that. Okay. But I'm kind of really worried about what you'd have to give up to get him. And another situation where guys.
Well, what do you think you'd have to give up to get him? Like, what would make you worried?
Well, there's a first-round pick.
Okay.
You
because
give
I think a lot of the guys you'd be talking about are young kids now that are maybe making that step.
Yeah.
And if you're going to move away from one or two of those guys to make this deal, does it at the end game, does it pay off?
Well,
you're a guy who's dabbled in real estate since the time you played. So you know how to play the
negotiations.
Market. I'm sensing you're not a big risk taker in this situation.
No, because I like – if I know I have something that, you know, there's there, and you're going to take that risk to maybe, does it set you back?
Okay.
Yeah. I understand what
there's
you're
looking
at.
There's a point of being greedy as well.
But I'm like, okay, so.
And if
I
it's
hate
too
to,
good to be true, then in most cases it's too good to be true.
Ah.
But I hate to put names out and say, oh, I'd be willing to part ways with Radim Mertka. Because I'm like, Radim Mertka could be a fantastic piece of the core on defense moving forward. But I'm
so
looking
could
at the defense.
First Rudolph.
Or Daxon Rudolph. Yeah. Right? And we just saw the latest embedded, and they're saying who's got the more upside, who can run a power play. It's Rudolph.
Right.
You know, but I'm also looking at the defense, the way it's built right now. I'm like, Dahlin is still young and will be here for many years. Power, Samuelson, you got Zellweger, you got Crevier. I mean,
a lot of good work has been done already.
Do you need Radim Mertka? Do you need Daxon Rudolph? That's the thing. So maybe I'd be willing to move him on just because I'm like, hey, we made the playoffs last year.
Right.
We send the
Sabres.
Yeah,
but it's got to be a right hockey deal, too.
Yes.
You know, you don't
but it's Connor Hellebuyck.
That. It is Connor Hellebuyck.
You're not getting Laurent Brossoit.
No, but how old is
former
Connor
Jet.
Hellebuyck?
Former Jet.
34 years old?
33
years old.
With 5 years left.
Yeah.
But he just won the Hart Trophy a year. Last summer, we're talking about Connor Hellebuyck, Vezina Trophy winner, Hart Trophy winner.
Didn't the guy that played in Carolina this year we had during the COVID and all that? Who's the kid that kept falling on the ice? He won the Hart Trophy?
Taylor Hall.
Taylor Hall.
The kid that kept
good comparison,
on the
Marty.
Ice.
You mean the one that could not score to save
on
his
breakaways.
Life as a member of
the
Sabres?
He won the Hart Trophy.
I understand that.
It was a blip,
apparently.
We all know how some of these trophies work. I don't know if I'd put a lot of emphasis on won certain trophies.
By the way, we have a crowd gathering a little bit more around us right now. The Dishon boys
because of
are
Razor,
here.
That we know.
And I'm seeing a couple of Butter Knives red jerseys right now. A Robbery 32 and a Marty Baron 43.
And we got a large representation of the Dishon crew here today, which is amazing as well. So that just adds to the fashion template that you're speaking of.
Absolutely.
And the mix of the
there
jerseys and all the rest.
There is definitely a fashion sense.
Okay, so you're in on Hellebuyck. Razor, to me, I think, is not in on Hellebuyck. The Blue Jackets are in on Jet Greaves.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
a three-year deal, $5 million per. And this, again, avoids arbitration. So I think I'm going
to
do some...
We're down to four?
Don't say them. I think I'm going to quiz people in the commercial break. Can you name the remaining four players?
There's no chance.
I know. That's why it's good trivia.
No chance. Anybody... I can't even name the
four. We've got Sabres, you know, Thompson bobbleheads and some Sabre flags and some Darlene pins and more to give away here at Johnson's Landing. It's Sabres Live in the Sabrehood.
Well, we're going to be playing Columbus the first night of the year.
This is important.
October 1st,
so?
Jet Greaves just signed. 3 years, $5 million a year.
I like that.
Good deal, right?
It's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
He's a heck of a player.
He's a good, smaller goalie.
Yeah.
Very quick. Worked through the American League. Took the end of the season a year and a half ago by storm with Columbus. Last year had a good year, but they had some issue. Coaching change. They almost made it. Rick Bowness was mad at the team at the end of the year, but it wasn't because of goaltending.
Well,
he wanted $7.5 million. Going into arbitration, that's shooting high. That's Dustin Wolf. Columbus was offering 2.8, which is Artur Shilov's money in Pittsburgh. You know, Dobesh just signed in Montreal, 5.3. Yeah. Like, $5
million
is pretty good.
I think it's fine. And going to arbitration, obviously you're setting your number high.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I think they found the exact middle here.
They're going to offer 2.3, and you're going, no, I want 3.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I just want 3. Of course you're going to set it high, so you're going to get a better total. So
right. So what do we make of the Blue Jackets, the Sabres' first opponent then, as you say? They still have business to take care of with Adam Fantilli at, you know, the focal point. And this is a franchise
that's... No offer sheet on Adam Fantilli yet.
No. And this is a franchise that has still, after all this time, one playoff series victory.
Yeah, that was a sweep of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
So what do we make of this Columbus team real quick, just now that you've got Greaves, you need to get this Fantilli deal. There's a lot hanging over them with the futures of Marchenko and Werenski and the weight that comes with not having year-in, year-out success and a couple of narrow misses the last 2 years. And I think I'm asking it from the perspective of, hey, the Sabre season kicks off October 1st. Is this a team that they are absolutely going to be in a fight with for a playoff spot?
I'm just going to say from Columbus in the past, I think that the style of play they play, it's very hard. You're doing that for 82 games a year.
Yep.
84
kind of,
now.
84. It wears down on you. I think if anything with Columbus, to beef up the talent side and have it, you know, at least
added Nshushkin, who brings, you know,
a little size
more,
too.
A little more talent. I think they play a tight enough game. They get decent goaltending, it seems like, over the years. But it's just the lack of maybe offense that kind of hurts those guys at times because of the style they got to play. But if they had a group of guys, see, even their top two lines and let your bottom two lines play the, you know, traditional Columbus style, I think it'd be a lot better off for them.
Well, again, once you make the playoffs, all of a sudden you're – your level raises, right?
Yes.
And your Montreal 2 years ago finally made the playoff after a drought, a bit of a drought. Not a Sabres drought, but a drought. Ottawa made the playoffs. Now Buffalo made the playoffs. It leaves Detroit and Columbus a little bit behind.
Correct, especially with the expectations of Tampa and Florida and Toronto within the division, right?
Boston.
Or within the conference, I should say, as we're talking Columbus.
But so it left Columbus and Detroit behind. For me, it's... Until I see it, where you are at the end of the year after 84 games and you're in the top eight of the Eastern Conference,
right.
I'm still looking at Columbus and they're missing a few pieces right now. And who knows what happens with Werenski and Marchenko and others.
What do you think happens with those two?
I think Werenski stays. I think Marchenko may go.
Yeah.
But maybe in season as well, depending on what goes. But I think Werenski will stay.
Well, just put it back on the Sabres real quick here, Razor, because, you know, we haven't talked about everything here in the offseason. How do you feel, barring any more moves, how do you feel about where the Sabres are at now after Tuck moves on? Byram is traded, Kesselring is moved, two young defensemen come into the fold, and the goaltending right now appears the same as a year ago.
I started the goaltending. I look at the goaltending, and I have this discussion with people. I'm like, how many times did we come out of a game last year where we go, goaltending let us down in this one?
Yeah.
Right? Not a
ton.
Didn't
happen much.
Not
well,
much
from
at
December
all.
9th on, almost never, yeah. Because
yeah.
You were top
so what
five.
I'm saying is, okay, yeah. If these guys, if that's the way they're going to do it, committee, 3-2, whatever they, you know, and they're going to keep these guys, that's not a major worry for me. And then you go to the D, I think that, yeah, you lost Bo, but I think these kids you brought in can fill holes. These guys will get a bigger role. You know, Dahls can always play more minutes. You got Sammy, yeah. These guys, power starting to come into his own, so he's going to, you know, demand more minutes. I think that, not demand him personally, but he's going to earn them. So the D side, I think our the way we play, the physical side, the aggressive side, our bottom two lines, I think, are more than deep in that and understand what they do. They've done a good job. If anything, maybe, you know, a little more help up front offensively. And,
see,
you know,
it's funny. I think the offense is, like, one of their strength now, almost, the way I look at it. Now, okay.
If these kids contribute the way
Benson,
expectations
Doan,
are. But you've got a list of kids that you're hoping that, hey, they're going to continue to keep that stretch. And if there's six of them, five of them may. One might not, or four might. And, you know, so you have to – fingers crossed, they all take a step.
I look at the first 10 games, and I know, like, you've got Columbus and Chicago and then a bunch of Western team that comes in. Then the next week you go Montreal, Toronto, Montreal on the road. Like, okay, after 10 games, let's just look at it and see where they are offensively. Because if Benson is, like, 0-2 and Kulik is 0-1 and then Tage is 1-2, and you're like, okay, where are we going here, right? Like, I'm
Marty, in that case, I would say that's where Yarmo and the management staff, they look and they go, okay, hey, we thought Duffer was going to take that step. He's not really taking it, Marty. Maybe that's where the thing, something
make
happens to make the move.
Or
I think it's tough now. I think you give an opportunity for get teams to get out there, see what they got. They might think they have something right now. It either might work out or it might not be quite where they thought it was going to be. Then they make that.
Yeah.
Well, I think especially recent history is a good teacher to not panic too early.
Wow. You don't want to always wait in December to turn it around.
No, but the league has shown now for a while that, you know, we can kind of punt the whole Thanksgiving thing. Like, it doesn't really matter where you are. I honestly have a tough time not laughing out loud at how dire everybody painted everything last year. Now, granted,
when we flew out to Seattle.
Nor did I ever anticipate they would be the best team in the NHL from December 9th on.
Yeah.
But they were not as removed from the conversation as people wanted to think they were at that point in time.
When we flew out to Seattle in December.
Because you rolled into games. You played top-tier teams and played exceptionally well against them. You beat them. You were beating the teams that you needed to beat. It was the lesser teams that, you know. So that just maybe shows the maturity of the group or something a little bit. You know, turn it up. Got to realize that they're all the same.
Yeah.
And I think they caught on to that.
You were on that full road trip when they went to Philly, Winnipeg, and then they do Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and then they had that meeting apparently in Calgary, right? Yeah. The leadership
Calgary,
group.
Edmonton, Vancouver.
Yeah. Calgary, Edmonton, yeah.
Because they lost in Calgary, then won in Edmonton.
In Edmonton. But, yeah, that Calgary, the night before the Calgary game, they got together, and then they lose in Calgary, and you're like, oh, this is not going to be good. And Edmonton was, you know, one of those, like, crazy game, and you hang on for dear life in the third period. You go to Vancouver, you win. We travel to Seattle, you win. All of a sudden, oh, they won three in a row. It's a little different by
well,
then.
Well, I think, though, what's the new addition or wrinkle to this part of the conversation, if they were to get off to a slow start, is that Yarmo was not the GM amidst the slow start. So based on what you've learned from him, is that maybe why the two of you were leaning towards, like, if it's not a great start, we could see a bigger swing early on in the year based on what you know about the general manager?
I think Yarmo and the group right now, because they're new, he's had this season to watch the kids.
Yep.
And he's got an expectation or a vision of certain kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming into a new season, if that continues, great.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I don't think he's so stubborn or you know, not willing to try something and make the difference. I think that I more than enough faith in this guy and just getting to know him a little bit that we've been able to, that he's not going to sit back and just go status quo.
Nope.
And I think that he wants to make sure that he's successful and he's going to do what he's got to do. And he's the great thing is now he's surrounding himself with some guys that are hockey people that can put in their 2 cents worth on it.
He's known as an aggressive general manager to start with.
Yes.
And now Mark Bergevin, it was an aggressive general manager this time with Montreal.
Right.
He's made some deal. And you got, you know, senior advisor John Davidson and Josh Flynn and the staff that was already there and the scouting staff that's done all the work.
Yes.
I'm thinking like you, Razor, and maybe like you, Duffer, too. Like, depending on how this starts, the aggressive nature may take an effect in October, but maybe you don't have to, and the team is just
instead of waiting to the deadline, boom, you're going to be the first one involved in these things instead of waiting for that day.
But again, what will be new territory for all teams, most teams, early next year, is that they will have cap space to make a move in season.
No, Jeff Skinner. Dead money?
Well, no, but just the fact that when the season starts,
right?
teams are going to be sitting there with unused cap space. That's just the nature of this offseason, right? Nobody's going to be able to spend to the cap because there was nobody to spend it on this summer. But what that means is when the season begins and somebody wants to make a trade, there's more than a few teams that are also going to be thinking like, hey, if that guy's available, we now have money to do a deal like this, where teams used to be hamstrung until the deadline.
Don't you think, though,
right?
Duffer, here in the last couple of years, teams are starting to be a little more aggressive?
Yes.
Being that first team?
100%.
Instead of sitting there waiting to a certain deadline?
Yes.
You know, and then everything happening at once? Trade deadline now is a, you know, not a dud, but it's a lot of
deals
minor things.
Way
all this stuff is happening a month, 2 months before all this.
Yeah.
And teams realize they can do it now, and they want to be the first one.
Right.
So I think it's just going to happen earlier and earlier all the time.
There's a soft deadline early February when it comes to last year was the Olympic break, but this year is going to be the All-Star game and the bye week. Mm-hmm. I feel like that January, like last couple of weeks of January going into February, is very aggressive time for a lot of GM, and some like to do their business way ahead of time.
And don't you like to set the market instead of having to follow what the market already set?
Especially.
Look at what Ed Heim had to deal with this year.
And not done yet because they don't have Gauthier
done
yet.
Don't have
so,
signed.
I mean, and we saw it. Like, we were lucky to have the draft here in Buffalo this year, and then everything in the 10 days leading up to the draft felt like a trade deadline. So I think that aggression, that type of management of your roster will continue, to your point, and we'll see that early on in seasons if teams have really difficult starts. You know whose birthday it is today?
RJ.
So RJ would have been 84 today. You're the perfect guy to be sitting here and sharing a quick RJ story with us.
Oh, man. RJ was, I know we've said it 1,000 times, how, you know, special a guy he was and how he was to everybody. But, you know, to me, he was great. You know, coming from a player, excited to hear his call of maybe a fight or something, to actually working with him and him being actually really hard on you at the beginning and really kind of, you know, the whole, hey, you played, who cares, out the window. This is the way it works. This is what goes on. And I still look back and I go, I don't know how many road trips that I'm running around the rink trying to find a six-pack so I could take it to the bus just as a peace offering to RJ so he's not mad at me the rest of the trip. But just that kind of a guy. I went through a picture the other day, and there's a picture that we went to Disney on Ice, okay? His family, our family went, and the kids were small. And RJ went and bought everybody these helmets that had horns on it, right? My son loved it so much. I got a picture of him sitting on the can with this thing on with a smile on his face. And every so often, RJ would be like, remember this?
Yeah.
That he, you know, did that for my son, and it was so special. So I sit and smile, and every time I scroll through, I see that. It puts a smile on my face.
And you obviously had the benefit of being with him for all those road trips. So you spent infinitely more time next to him than what we were able to, even though we were part of the same group. But to your point, when, you know, a moment like, hey, remember this? That's what you and I were lucky to experience via text every now and again on the show, whatever, or on an off night, right? And he just had an incredible way of tweaking you. Sometimes, like, is he serious? Is he mad? Is he just playing with us to get a perfect rise out of us? Yeah. Which I, you know.
Especially in the year after his retirement, because then he was home watching the games and watching the intermission. He wasn't on the road or taking a break before the next period would start. And I still remember two of the last texts I got from RJ. They're still in my phone. One was I was doing a TSN hit from my home studio, and I had the RJ banner behind me. And he says, hey, get your own banner. So that was, he sent me a picture of the screen and he says, get your own banner.
And when we look around here at Johnson's Landing, as we are here for Sabres Live in the Sabrehood, like these are the moments where somehow he elevated the love that people have for him. Like,
I don't know. Down to the atrium and just take pictures and sign autographs.
But
for
Sabres
hours.
Road crew parties, all the rest of it. Look, everybody that's a fan of this team was already the biggest fan of RJ.
Yeah, there's a few fans here that RJ would be like going right away. Well, like,
and some people would walk away from these events going, I love him even more. What an ability he has.
Yeah, I can remember before games in the last couple of years, he'd just go to the lobby. Yep. While fans were coming in, and just stand there, take pictures, and sign. And I'm like, hey, why you do that? You got stuff to get done. He goes, they expect it. They need it, and I want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's just all he wanted to do.
And all his preparation was done on one piece of paper, right? It was just.
It wasn't even that.
It was the road team. It was folded in half. Yeah. But everything was up top.
Everything was up there. And that's because of his relationships and the mutual respect. And I think that maybe doesn't get said enough, because we joke about how he'd like to just tweak you a little bit. But the respect that he held for people in the game, that he would be able to converse with. Yeah. So his preparation, his knowledge of what was going on in the game was so firsthand. Yeah. Accounts from people within the league, accounts from people across the league in different cities that you would go to. He was not walking in as a know-it-all. He was walking in as someone who just kept absorbing and absorbing more.
And never thought he was anything different than what he was.
No. He didn't try to fool anybody.
And there's a lot of people in this side of the business that you walk around and their egos are bigger than majority of the players in the dressing room. And it's like, oh, my God. Then you look at a guy like him, he was just, it's like he was happy to be there every
day. Just like a month ago, we showed the highlight of the butt goal, Mike Smith, probably going back in the net. And Razor, you're like, you say, do you see the puck right here? He goes, yeah, I see it, Razor. He's like, but I've never seen that happen before. You're like, I think it's the best collaboration call
that you and he have ever had.
Awesome.
Because of the uniqueness of the moment and how the two of you, it was as if you were sitting there arguing in your basement about what to look at, what not to. It was absolutely amazing.
Well,
incredible.
You circled it on the Telestrator. Do you see it?
He goes, Marty, I've never allowed to use a Telestrator. Somebody else did that because you take it. I need that Telestrator, I think.
You should use the Telestrator.
Moving forward.
Well, we are moving forward.
Because I've got a lot more knowledge than you within the game.
Yes.
That I could use.
But you did play a little bit more. There is that.
Yeah, okay.
Not a lot.
What is the amount of games we played together? Remember we had that segment the one year?
I've forgotten it.
It was like.
Yeah, I don't remember the number of games, but I know we had a losing record.
You weren't
tough. It happened in my first game. We were 0-1 my very first game. That's the problem.
All right, we are at Johnson's Landing. It's Sabres Live in the Sabrehood. We're going to take a quick break and do some trivia and some giveaways. Obviously, my questions will be Marty and Razor related in all likelihood to get things started. But as Rob just said, we're moving forward. And with that, single game tickets are on sale now for the coming 26-27 season. You want to be there for every experience, all the big moments at KeyBank Center, and we just encourage you to join us for all the fun. Sabres.com/tickets. Bob Johnson from Johnson's Landing and more as we continue in the Sabrehood.
Get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Beautiful.
Coming up on Saturday at KeyBank Center, we have our pet adoption event in partnership with the Buffalo Bills. We've got adoptable cats and dogs from local shelters and rescue organizations. Plus, we're asking that you bring unopened cat or dog food to donate, and you'll receive 30% off at the Sabres store. For more information, go to sabres.com/adopt. What a beautiful day here in Western New York on the shores of Lake Erie. We are at Johnson's Landing, 4040 Lakeshore Road in Hamburg. It's Sabres Live in the Saberhood. This is a real special day for us as we start getting a little bit more integrated in the community in the off-season to build us towards opening night on the 26-27 season. Bob Johnson is the owner here at Johnson's Landing, and it is really great to be here at this perfect location
hockey
today.
Expert, hockey dad.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out here. We'll hit him with some Sabres trivia, and obviously
we've already given up bubble heads and stuff. Tough trivia, by the way.
Apparently, my trivia was tougher than I thought. We've still got more to give away, and the crowd has been nice here on the way in today. We knew the weather was going to be great.
Yes.
And what does it mean for you, Bob, in this, I would say, still relatively new location, this beautiful location, to welcome us in here in the Saberhood?
Yeah, I mean, it's tremendous. The support of the fans and the people have been great. You know, obviously, we talked earlier, the Sabres, their success is, you know, it's obvious in the community. People come out, they love it. A Thursday afternoon to have this many people out here is great for business, great for us, great for the community.
So, what was it like during the season, though? We talked about December 9th, right? The Sabres start their streak. It started in Edmonton and Vancouver and Seattle and came back home. And even after the Olympics, that first game in New Jersey, a big win over there. Lukanen was fantastic. But, you know, now you got the games on the big screen and people everywhere. What was that like in February, March, and April and in the playoffs?
Oh, it was great. The atmosphere. I mean, honestly, as they started that winning streak and started doing really well, you saw the buzz, right? It was a difference. We're on the way for people to go to the game, so we see a lot of people coming in their jerseys, stopping in, eating before, heading downtown. And then when they're winning, they're coming back here, they're having another drink and hanging out. And that's just, the atmosphere is tremendous. The Olympics is great. You know, that we were open that Sunday morning. My staff did a great job. We were full. Outstanding. And then it just kind of just kept going. I mean, the playoff games, where the atmosphere was incredible, right? It was we talked earlier off was, it was like a Bills game three times a week. You know, the atmosphere, the people, and the fans, it was outstanding.
How much of that was part of your vision when you build a place like this? To be a place that becomes the real gathering hub for sporting events, because it is such a sports town.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a big part of it. Like, everything we do, we look at what the schedule is, what's coming up, what's, you know, what, whether it be the Bills, the Sabres, whoever's playing, Bandits, right? Like, I mean, this is our city, our people, we're, you know, homegrown, right? I'm born and raised Buffalo, and this is what we do. So on top of the food, the drinks, that's a big part of it. You know, the atmosphere and the people in the fandom, right? The Saberhood. And it's been a really good thing for our business. It's been great.
So now, I mean, we're going to continue talking about sports and whatever, but on Friday night, you got a live DJ out here. On Saturday night, you got bands.
Like,
we're talking about this Saturday, a Fleetwood Mac cover band.
Yep, yeah.
So that's going to be here. So
we have a concert series the last Saturday of every month. We have the 10 outside, and we have tickets at the ticket event. Every Friday night, there's a DJ up here. Sundays, we have live music during brunch. So, yeah, there's a lot going on all the time. We add in different events, different pop-ups, stuff like that, too. Our social media is great. You know, shout out to my daughter, Lexi.
Yeah.
She does that. My boys are both here as well, Bobby and Nate. So, yeah, it's a family business.
Okay, which one hates me? Nate hates me, right? I got to give him. Where is he? I got to talk to him.
He's listening. He's on his way here. And I'm getting beat up for saying that to you. So
that's awesome. I love it. The
12-year-old.
It's an inside joke.
12-year-old coach, right? Like, that's perspective. So
Yes. No, so that's okay. You know, people think that I'm just a dislikable person. Sometimes there's people that I rub the wrong way, but I've got to talk to Nate about it.
Yeah, you don't touch the pucks for the goalie coach, right?
Like, I said, no. Like, if you're on the ice with my goalies and I put the pucks in the place, and then all of a sudden you come by and you grab my pucks, you're going to hear about it, and that's what happened.
Yeah, my phone's going off. He's listening, I guarantee it.
So. Oh, yes.
What was your first Sabre memory?
Well, you know, we talk, my cousin and I still talk about May Day, you know, the May Day goal against Bork. That was a classic. We were at the Odd. I was at the Odd as a kid, and then the last practice at the Odd we were at as well. Mm-hmm. I had season tickets the first year of the new arena, and then we've had Sabre tickets the last few years. So, I mean, we've been around hockey, my boys playing forever. We go back. Alex McGillney's one of my favorite players ever when we were kids, you know, so love all of it, right? We go to all the games.
You talk about that last practice at the Odd, that's when they unveiled the goat head, the black and red. Do you see a lot, like we see the fans out here, a lot of blue and gold, some black and red. Do you see it on when people come and watch the games that it's kind of everybody loves both looks and, yeah. and when they wear the jerseys?
Yeah, it's all over. I think people just, they love that, right? The goat head's just the classic, the kind of where the last time we had success, right? That's where we all, you know, my generation, my age group, that's what we remember.
Stanley Cup in 99.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So that's I think you see a little bit of both, though. I think the customers, you know, it's funny because on a game day, you know it's a game day, right? People come in,
yes.
especially as the season progressed and they got better and better. You know, you saw the difference in people and what they're coming to do.
What's your capacity here at Johnson's Landing?
Well, you know, each floor, like the first floor is like 140. You know, in the summertime, obviously, there's more. The second floor is around 100, and then the rooftop. We've had, you know, about 150 to 200 up here for different events. You know, we have a WYRK event coming up where they have a concert up here. So, I mean, we've had DJ nights. There's been a couple hundred people up here.
And,
so.
Bob, give us a quick family history in this business and what prompted this incredible undertaking
sure.
to build Johnson's Landing.
Absolutely. So my mom is Peg, right? So she owned Peg's Place from the time I was 6 until I was 15, I believe. And then she retired from the business. I got my degree here. I went, you know, local. And then I couldn't find a job, so I said, let's reopen Peg's Place, the diner. In 2003, we opened that up. I had a long-standing crew, you know, my management team and my people with me for a long time. And we thought, how can we keep them? We knew food. We knew service. So we decided to build this. COVID hit, and we slowed down the process. And then right after COVID, everything, we decided full bore ahead, and we went with it. And 3 years coming up, been very good. And love it. You know, now my kids are involved, so third generation of restaurants, and it's you know, one of the best things I've ever done, right? We have the relationships we have, go back to sports, right? Like a lot of these, my employees have been with me for a long time, so you build those relationships and working with them and watching them succeed and move on to the next thing, and you know, some stay with us and have been with us forever and will be with us forever, hopefully.
So the Saberhood Bar Network, I came in earlier, well, during the season, mm-hmm. and we brought in some beer source, a beer saber, and yeah. a bunch of other things, some light-up signs. Were the fans just, like, coming through the doors to try to get those beer saber? Because yeah. they were very, very high demand
yeah,
when I brought them in.
That was a hot commodity, absolutely. So we sold a ton of them right away, and then we held some for some promotional stuff, and then during the playoff games we were giving them away and different things like that. So
wow.
yeah, it was great. And we set up the sign, and we had our camera system up. People were taking pictures every time they were in with their jerseys on. A lot of that stuff went on social media. So, yeah, it's been huge. It's been great.
It's a beautiful neon sign, right?
Yeah.
Saberhood Bar Network. Yeah. I absolutely love that group atmosphere to the community here.
We're here at Johnson's Landing at Sabres Live in the Saberhood. We're with Bob Johnson, the owner of Johnson's Landing. Your reaction to Pat Kane signing in Chicago today?
Listen, I would have loved to have him for the power play. Great player, obviously, for a long time. Local guy, so proud to see him do well. He's been in my other restaurant. He's been, been around. So I think we have a lot of young talent. I think we'll be fine. Just like last year, right? We lost a couple guys, and the young guys stepped up, and excited to see what happens.
What about Connor Hellebuck? Are you interested or not?
Well, yes and no, right? You'd like to see him.
It's a bit of a razor opinion
well, it's,
here.
What's it cost you, right? Like, I mean, yes. You don't want to mortgage the future, right? So see what happens.
That's the business mentality behind Bob and Razor.
Exactly.
It's like, what's it going to cost you?
Absolutely.
I'm willing to do anything.
Exactly.
But what's the price and what's the outlook? And let's get our numbers together. I'm more like, let's go. I'm more like, focusing on the next shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make that save, move on. Focus on the next year, maybe even just the next game. And I'm like, how do you win that game? That's why I'm saying Connor Hellebuck. But so that's cool. So, okay, so you've been around hockey, you know, as a dad, as a fan and everything. Your favorite player on the Sabres right now and why?
Oh, geez. that's a tough question. I'd say right now I think, Rasmus Dahlin's got to be the guy, right? Just the heart and soul of the team, does all the small things, willing to fight, battle in the corners, and then the offensive skills there. And just the tenacity that he's been here, like doing the right thing every day, week in and week out, and year in and year out. Yeah, exactly right. Like, I think he's grown into that role, and I think it's awesome to watch.
I mean, he even took a punch in the back of the head from one of your favorite players.
Brandon Hagel.
Brandon Hagel. So.
Yeah.
and that led to the fans.
I was going to say he's on a long list with Hagel.
I was going to say that led to the fans beating up an Hagel dummy outside of the building the next time. So that was fantastic.
It was good for Sabres marketing, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It turned out to be very much what a theme of the playoff games were. Anything else you would want to say on this day, Bob, as we kicked off Sabres Live in the Saberhood?
Yeah. No, just we appreciate the support of the Sabres, right? Everybody involved has been fantastic to work with and done a great job with all these different promotions and trying different things. And then it's been fun. They're winning and they're playing well. It makes it just a lot more exciting. So
can't wait to see you at the rink.
Absolutely.
Bob Johnson from Johnson's Landing here.
Maybe we got to do a game night from here one of those days.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Absolutely.
Sounds good to me.
I'll do it. From the patio especially. I love it.
I'll come with softer trivia for everybody. But we will be giving away more prizes here during our commercial break. And we will, of course, continue with Dazzled and Disturbed next on Sabres Live. Thanks again, Bob.
Yep, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Join us for Hockey Fest. It's presented by Body Armor, and it's coming up on September 12th, just outside of KeyBank Center, right along RJ Way. You can gather your team and compete in a street hockey tournament for divisions of all ages and all skill levels, and every participant receives a gift and two tickets for a Sabres preseason game against the Jackets on September 22nd. You can register your team today at sabres.com/hockeyfest. We are continuing in the Saberhood today. It's Sabres Live at Johnson's Landing in Hamburg, and it is time for D&D.
Dazzle.
Marty, it's been a brutal year for the Blue Jays, but Max Scherzer is showing signs of maybe being able to help them after what he delivered for the Bisons yesterday.
Well, it would be nice if he can go help the Blue Jays because they lost again to the Tampa Bay Rays. But it's fun to see the connectivity between the Jays and the Bisons, and we've obviously seen Bichette and Guerrero and all them, but now Max Scherzer's coming in.
Yeah, but
and
five fans, innings, no hits
no
yesterday.
But the fans get to enjoy it, the team gets to enjoy it, and it just gets the Bisons even more publicity nationwide with a guy like Scherzer taking the mound.
Dazzled, yes, was Scherzer. Disturbed, yeah. I suppose, would be an unfortunate moment for young Charlie Woods.
Yeah, so Charlie Wood was eliminated from the U.S. Junior Amateur ahead of the match play. So you have to finish in the top 64. There was 14 players tied for 63rd. So they went into a 14-player playoff for two spots. And you just, the best players from the first hole move on. Mm-hmm. So three players birdied the first hole, so they moved on. But he had a chance to potentially chip and putt for birdie. And on his chipped, there was a photographer that snapped pictures. And it kind of, the concentration wasn't there, missed his chip, bogeyed that hole. Mm. So what they're saying is that it's unfortunate because no other junior players would have to deal with photographers and distractions in their backswing at that moment, but he did, and he bogeyed and failed to advance. So that's what happens when you're the son of Tiger Woods. You're going to get more media and more people following you.
Owen Power drafted on this date in Sabres history. It was in the year 2021. What is your expectation for Power this coming season?
I'm saying Owen Power 50-plus points this year.
What?
So we were talking about the 40-point plateau that Byram Samuelson, Dahlin had last year.
Wow.
Send Power 50-plus points.
Holy cow, way up from the 29 he had this year.
That's what I'm looking at. Double that stuff.
Let's go.
I think Power was getting more and more comfortable, and now as a leader playing with either Zellweger and Crevier, I think that he'll take another step forward.
But are you basing so
second power play unit as well?
Right, but are you gauging his improvement more on points than anything else? Because I think last year showed people a different side of Power, right?
Yeah, and overall game was good, right? Yeah. Like the physicality, the taking time and space away, all of that. Finally playing a mature game. But now I think that because of that confidence builder of last year, I think now we're going to see the offense, the puck possession, and everything that maybe Power was seen when he played at Michigan.
Do you know where Razor ranks on the NHL's all-time goals list?
Oh, 832nd.
If you tripled that.
24 or something?
2310th. He's in a tie right now at 41, and there's a Sabre who has one more, a current Sabre. His name is Peyton Krebs.
Oh, good.
We've enjoyed Sabres Live in the Sabrehood. Andrew Podorolski joins us on Monday. We'll see you then.